This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Health News Channel. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Emmy Award-winning producer Dr. Neil Baer, MD, who has appeared on Law & Order, SVU, ER, and Under the Dome, is a veteran TV show runner, producer, and writer, and Harvard-educated physician who combines his passion for medicine and storytelling to challenge audiences' views on a broad spectrum of social and political topics. Dr. Baer, certainly a pleasure to have you with us on the program.
Thanks for having me.
And you are most welcome. So you are an MD and an award-winning television producer and writer. Which career came first and how did they intersect?
Writing came first. I started out as a documentary maker, went to film school in Los Angeles, and then started writing for television. I wasn't sure that it was the right career path for me, so I went to medical school in Boston at Harvard. And when I was a fourth-year medical student, I was sent the script of ER by my friend John Wells, whom I'd grown up with in Denver, and he was the executive producer. The script was written by Michael Crichton in 1969 when he was a medical student at Harvard, and it had been locked away in a trunk in Steven Spielberg's office for 25 years and forgotten about. It was found in 1994, and pitched to NBC. They bought it. They didn't like it. They thought there were too many storylines, but nonetheless, they went forward with it, and it became a huge hit. We had no idea it was going to be, but I left medical school as a fourth-year medical student and came for 2 months to develop the medical stories for the show, and I liked it so much I stayed and started out as a staff writer on the show at the very beginning and became the showrunner, executive producer in year 7, 6, 7, and then left to go to Law & Order Special Victims Unit.
Quite an interesting history there. Thanks for sharing. Now, as a writer and producer on ER, how is your experience as a doctor reflected in episodic stories?
Profoundly. I did a lot of the medical stories. Most of the medical stories I came up with, we did on the show. Each week I would pitch ideas, and I would write on one of our dry erase boards hundreds of medical story ideas based on either things I'd seen as a medical student or when I became a resident while I was on the show in pediatrics, or through interviews with emergency physicians, residents, interns, medical students, nurses, healthcare providers, physician assistants. And we would invite doctors, nurses, residents to come to dinners at our offices at Warner Brothers, and we would ply them with questions and draw on their lives for inspiration for ER.
Also, if you don't mind, Dr. Baer, please tell us about Gloria Rubin's character on ER and its importance in the cultural landscape.
Gloria Rubin played the character Jeannie Boulay starting in year one. She came towards the end of the season, and we were trying to figure out what storyline to give her, and we came up with the idea of making her HIV positive. You have to remember that this was in 1995, and there really wasn't good treatment for HIV until 95, 96. It happened pretty quickly. So we were able to chart and follow a story about a healthcare provider. And back then, it was, there was so much fear about people getting HIV from a healthcare provider if they were HIV positive, and there was a lot of misinformation. So we felt that we would be able to present a story that really tried to burst the myths and stereotypes about HIV, particularly showing someone living with HIV and having a fulfilled personal and work life. and it coincided with the introduction of antiretrovirals, ARVs, so that her character was healthy and didn't die. And that was, she was one of the first characters, if not probably the first ongoing HIV-positive character that led a good life as opposed to a tragic life. And that was because also the medication was introduced, as I just said, during the show. So after Gloria left the show to actually sing and dance with Tina Turner and the other movies and television, I asked John Wells. I was long off the show, but I asked John, we're close friends, if he would bring Gloria's character back in season 14, the ER ran 15 seasons, to show that her character was still doing well and again to debunk myths about HIV. And so Gloria did go back on the show, and I thought that was a really great way to present that character and show how important it was for her character to be living a life, and also for us to debunk all the myths that were surrounding HIV back then.
I remember that history and those episodes like it was yesterday. Now, as EP and showrunner of Law and Order SVU, you were writing stories at the forefront of sexual abuse and domestic violence. How have the stories on SVU impacted our culture?
Well, there again, you know, I was writing these stories at a time when these issues were finally getting talked about publicly. So we had a huge impact on opening the backlog of rape kits. So I went to an event for Mariska Hargitay's foundation maybe about 10 years ago when I was on SVU running it. And I met a young woman who'd been sexually assaulted and was afraid to leave her home because her rape kit had not been tested. A rape kit is a kit with DNA swabs taken after an assault that is very invasive and takes many hours to perform so that any lingering evidence can be picked up. And we discovered that there were over 400,000 untested kits sitting in warehouses across the country, which meant that the perpetrators of the crime often were going undetected because there wasn't the political will to test the rape kits. And by testing them, it meant to run the DNA from the kit through a system, a national system, to see if they matched people who'd been arrested in the past. And so I know Mariska has a documentary coming out soon on HBO about this. There are many, many people who would have been taken off the streets much earlier and before they committed other crimes if we had the wherewithal to test the rape kits. So I know that when we did that show, that raised awareness. It was the first time that really was brought to the public's attention. So that's just one show of many that we did on these topics, but it had a profound impact.
Today we are joined by Dr. Neil Baer, MD, a veteran TV showrunner, producer, writer, and Harvard-educated physician who combines his passion for medicine and storytelling to challenge audiences' views on broad spectrums of social and political topics here on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. If you would, Dr. Baer, tell us about Action Lab.
So Action Lab is a web-based site that I developed in this house at UCLA where I have an academic appointment. And actionlab.org is a concept and now in beta where after you see a television show or a documentary or read a book or go to a museum experience, and you're inspired by something you see, we give you actionable steps you can take to what I call bridge the gap between inspiration and action. So Action Lab is available for a documentary that was just aired on PBS called If You Build It, that I produced about kids in the poor county of North Carolina, OT County, who build a farmer's market to save their town. ActionLab.org allows you to find out or actually build a farmer's market in your own community and learn how to do those kinds of things and use design to improve your community and how to get grants and things like that. So we hope that if you're inspired by what you see, you go on Action Lab and we give you ways to do something active beyond signing a petition or donating money. It's important, I think, to make donations to worthy causes that do important things for social justice. But often people want to do more, but they just don't know how. And we did it also with a book that I contributed to called Soda Politics. And we give people actionable steps they can take to help take soda out of their homes and schools and public places. Soda is a huge contributor to childhood obesity, and I work a lot in that area to try to reduce obesity, particularly amongst children.
And speaking of obesity, you have been outspoken about many health issues, including the detrimental effects of soda. If you would, tell us about the most compelling research from the soda book.
The soda book is called Soda Politics by Marion Nessel. I wrote the afterword, and I think one of the most compelling statistics is that half of Americans still drink soda every day, and one quarter drink 12 ounces or more, one fifth drink 48 ounces or more, and 5% drink more than over 500 calories a day. Soda has been shown to be the number one contributor to childhood obesity, and Americans consume one-third of all the sugar consumed in the United States is through soda. So it is what we call liquid candy, a product that has no nutritional value. I think it's fine as a treat, but many, many people, if they just said drink it every day, and it contributes non-nutritional calories, just added sugar calories to the diet, and therefore it's a factor in obesity, and not only obesity, but leading to type 2 diabetes and heart disease.
Certainly a problem right there, and do appreciate your being outspoken on this issue. Now, you've been an advocate also for drug awareness, and you were interviewed after Prince's untimely death not long ago. What can we do as a society to help curb drug addiction?
Yeah, that was such a tragedy with Prince, and I was just reading that it was discovered just recently or reported that he had opiates and painkillers and all kinds of bottles kind of covering it up, and aspirin bottles and other bottles, vitamin bottles. I think that as what writers can do certainly is tell stories about addiction being a brain disease. It's not a disease of moral turpitude or being a bad person or weakness. It's a disease that's a brain disease that can be treated. And we're in such a terrible, terrible place right now with an opiate epidemic, and we're seeing the number of opiate-related deaths increase yearly to surpass, deaths from AIDS now and car. And I think it's around the same as car accidents, but it's really a terrible tragedy affecting people across the country, both urban, rural, all races, men and women, young people particularly. So. And there are more potent opiates that are becoming available, more potent than heroin. So they are more easily overdosed And so we have to really tell stories that stop shaming people about having an addiction, be it to drugs or alcohol, and provide treatment and support for this brain disease.
Certainly appreciate your input in those regards. Lastly, how can health issues be more frequently integrated into mainstream media and culture?
Well, we've been working for many years with writers to do just that, to help them integrate accurately portrayed stories. And I think it's very important that stories be portrayed accurately because people take what they see often from a television show or what they see online, a video, and act on it. And so we want it to be accurate. So we have a center, the Global Media Center for Social Impact at UCLA, GMI, and we provide writers with free, accurate information on any healthcare topic they email us about or call us about. And so that's one way we can make an active role in providing accurate information to the public.
Well, Dr. Bear, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you, and you offer such great information, not only within the health spectrum, but in our social and political avenues as well. We really appreciate your input today per our questioning. If you would, tell us where listeners can get more information on Action Lab and how could one be in touch?
Action Lab is easy. Just go to actionlab.org. And one can get involved on a number of health issues, health-related issues particularly, to give you lots of actionable steps you can take. You can go from there.
Very good. Well, Dr. Bear, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It was certainly our pleasure. We've been speaking with Dr. Neil Bear, MD, who has appeared on Law and Order, SVU, ER, and Under the Dome, who is a veteran TV showrunner, producer, writer, and Harvard-educated physician who combines his passion for medicine and storytelling to challenge audiences' views on a broad spectrum of social and political topics. And for more information, visit actionlab.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.